Hi everyone, I'm Sally. I'm a member here and I'm on the eldership team as well, and I love having the chance just to come and bring a message to you on occasional Sundays. There we go. So this is where I was on Friday, slap bang in the middle of the UK, approximately, in a little village called Haworth, which is famous for the Brontes, which I'm not a fan of, I have to admit. But, well, it's just I'm ignorant. I don't know, you know, I know they exist. I haven't read or anything like that. But beautiful little village. And we went for this walk. The heather was out in the hills. It was really, really pretty. So there's one of the many photos I took. I'm going to come back to that in a little while. So today we're carrying on the series of prayer. We've looked at pause, where Claire introduced us to this concept of being still and just gathering our thoughts and really coming into the presence of God. Yesterday, last week, Andrew talked to us about rejoicing in God and all those wonderful reasons we have to just give God glory and give God thanks for who he is. And then today we're looking at the A of pray, and that's asking. How do we pray and ask God for things? And then we're going to move on in the next couple of weeks to the why, to the yield, and looking at unanswered prayer and listening to God. So for today, there's two types of asking prayer. There's praying for ourselves, which is called petition, and there's praying for others, which we know as intercession. So we're going to start with some intercession. And last week, again, we said the Lord's Prayer, which isn't something we do an awful lot here. And it's a great prayer. Here it is on the screen. Jesus shows his disciples how to pray by giving them this example. So this is kind of a model prayer for us to pray. And it contains four petitions that I've highlighted in there. Petitions praying for yourself. Give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. And these are all petition prayers, prayers that we ask God to help us. And they're personal to us. Give me my daily bread, forgive me my sins, etc. And Jesus puts them right in the middle of this model prayer as an example of how to pray. So it's okay to ask God for our needs. It's okay to ask God to give me what I need. It's okay. And in fact, Jesus makes it very clear in John 14. He says, if you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. And Jesus asks us directly what he can do for us. An example was the story of Bartimaeus, the blind man, in Mark chapter 10. Jesus saw him in the crowd and called him to him and said, what can I do for you? He asked him, what can I do for you? So it's not like Jesus already knew what this man needed. Of course, he wanted to see again. But Jesus asked him. And there's more examples. One of them we heard from Brian a few weeks ago when he had the chalk duster thrown at his head. And what did the teacher say? You don't have because you don't ask. And that's from the book of James later in the New Testament. So it's okay to ask God. And in fact, God wants us to ask him. God wants to bless us, and he wants to have a relationship with us. Even in the Psalms, the psalmist has a very bold ask. Psalm 27, verse 24. One thing I have asked of the Lord, one thing, he says. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's not a small ask either. But why don't we ask? Sometimes we feel uncomfortable asking God for things for ourselves. Pete Grieg, who's the author of the book that we're working through for this series, explains that there could be several reasons why, what things that get in the way of us praying or even asking God. And these could be shame or guilt or embarrassment of our human condition, our sinful nature. When Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden sinned, they felt all three of those things. They felt guilt and shame and embarrassment, and they hid from God. And ever since then, ever since that creation story, God's been giving us instructions and help. He gave us Jesus. He gave us the Holy Spirit to get us back to that place where we can have relationship with him. So God wants you to ask him for what you need. Then why should we ask for what we need? Doesn't God know already what we need? But in the book that we're following, Pete says there are potentially three reasons why we should ask for prayer for ourselves. The first one is relational. Asking God for something is asking God to know you. And an example is when in the Gospels, when the woman who had constant bleeding touched Jesus' cloak, hoping for a miracle. And Jesus didn't just walk through the crowd and notice something was happened and carried on. He stopped, turned, and found who the woman was who touched his cloak. He wanted to know who it was, and he spoke to her. So he wanted to have that relational approach with her. It's also about being vulnerable. Asking for something is opening up your heart and saying, I don't have everything I need. I need some help. It's about making yourself vulnerable to God. And it's showing an area of weakness in our lives that we're inviting God in faith to come and sort for us. And the other is intentional. God gave us all a free will. We're not robots. We don't all wake up in the morning and do all our things. We choose to pray. And a few weeks ago, I think it was last week, Jenny read from a book, Wake Up My Soul. You've got to intentionally do it, intentionally get up in the day, intentionally pray, and intentionally ask. And when we ask, God answers. So how do we start? How do we get in that habit of asking in our daily prayers? I'd suggest that we start small. Start by praying loads of little prayers. Fill your day with lots of little asking prayers. So here's an example. I'm going to go back to this where we were on Friday, my husband and I. So we had a nice little mooch in the village, as you do, a cup of tea. And we went on a walk to the Bronte Falls, which my expectations weren't very high of waterfalls, you know, but they were beautiful. But as we were walking along, and I was chatting to my husband, taking far too many photographs, I was just saying to God, oh, how can I bring in this landscape, this beauty into my message on Sunday? I'm talking about prayer, but, you know, how can I bring this into my message today? And walking along, and we sort of approached where we realized the waterfalls were. And there, slap bang in the middle, the path forked in half, is this rock in the path in front of me, with this on it, engraved in the rock right in front of me. God miraculously answered my prayer. Literally, this is engraved on the rock. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Psalm 104:24. And I just thought, oh, you know, just blown away. That's amazing. I'm walking along in this beautiful valley. God, how can I bring this beautiful creation, this beautiful view into my message? And he slaps a verse from Psalms on a rock in front of my path. I mean, come on, you know, I was like this. I was giddy. And there's a lovely little prayer underneath it. There's a few words missing, so I hope I've added them in right. Father Almighty, wonderful Lord, wondrous Creator, be ever adored. Wonder of nature, sing praises to you. Wonder of wonders, I may praise you too. I tell you what, I was buzzing when I saw that, when I walked in that. I was really, really buzzing. And I've got loads of examples like that. I'm sure you all do. I've got another one, which I shared with my small group because I was so excited at the time. When I work from home, I set up my laptop and PC on the dining table and look out over the garden. And a few months ago, I was sitting at home and had a big deadline for work. And I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. So I was sitting there and I just kind of sat, took a breath and thought, God, help me please. I've got so much to do. And I have to admit, I'm the biggest procrastinator. So I was like up to the wire with this. And I'm sitting there and I just took a deep breath. And the next thing I hear a buzzard, a bird of prey, a buzzard call above me outside. And it swooped really low over the garden. And normally when you see a buzzard, they're like high up circling, aren't they? And this bird swooped down over the garden and then disappeared. And immediately I was reminded of that verse in Isaiah. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. And I tell you what, oh my, I felt so good. That in the moment that I called out to God, oh God, I need some help with my deadline. I need some help just to focus. God sends a bird to fly over my garden that reminds me of a promise in his Bible that I can hang on to. And my, I felt better for that. That is an answer to prayer. So we should fill our days with little prayers, little asking prayers. Don't be shy. Don't think God doesn't care. God's not interested in this. God's not interested in that. But when you pray, little coincidences start to happen. Or are they coincidences? Or how about mini miracles? Or even big miracles? A rock in the middle of the path for me, that was a big miracle on Friday. What kind of a happy day are you going to have if you spend your day asking and receiving answers to prayer? There's a great book, which I haven't read. I'm not a great reader. But a friend of mine in our small group shared this with me. And it's a book on prayer. And here's the title: Help, Thanks, Wow. The Three Essential Prayers. It really is that simple. Help, God, thank you, God, and then wow. That's certainly how I felt when I had those prayers answered that I've just said to you. And how did Ellie feel when she prayed for a friend to be at this church? Wow. So I'm going to break there. What I want you to do, hopefully you've got enough pens and paper around, is to write a very short prayer to God for yourself, something that you need. Just write a few words on a piece of paper, and I want you to fold it up and put it in that blue bucket that's around on the table. So if you can all do that, give you a couple of minutes. Short prayer. Keep it confidential because we'll share them out later. So just 2 minutes. Great. So I'm going to move on now. So just pop your prayers into the bucket when you're done. We're going to move, so we've looked at asking for ourselves, for petition. We're going to just move on to intercession, which is now asking for other people. And that's when we change from focusing on ourselves and what we need to focusing on other people, other situations, other countries, and what they need. And this is when we step into that place between heaven and earth. And we pray to God to intervene, to heal, to restore, to bless, to save, to protect. All of those prayers that we pray are praying for somebody else. We pray to God because we can. We're his children. We can stand before God on behalf of someone else and pray and plead and cry out. And what a privilege it is for us to pray for somebody else. That's such a huge gift. To be able to pray for somebody else, someone who maybe doesn't know God, or someone who can't pray, someone who's not in a situation to pray, that we can pray on their behalf. What a privilege that is. And there's loads of examples in the Bible where people are interceding on behalf of other people. Here's an example. Moses comes down the mountain, he's got the tablets, and while he's been away, the people of Israel have gone a bit off the rails, and they've created a golden calf, and they're worshipping the golden calf. Exodus chapter 32. God says to Moses, leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them. That's a bit harsh, that. But Moses refuses to let God destroy his people. He was adamant and defiant, and he pleads with God to change his mind. Moses says to God, turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. And it worked. His intercession, Moses' intercession on behalf of the Israelites, changed God's mind. Verse 14, God relented. Moses' prayer changed God's mind. Maybe that's an example. So far back in history, you think, oh, that's a nice story. Here's a relatively more recent one. April 1994, you may gather, I'm not native to this country, South Africa. I was in my final year at university in Durban, And in April 1994 was the first fully democratic election that country had seen. So this is since the fall of the apartheid regime. And the world's media was focused on South Africa at that time. I remember being there, and I remember the news and, you know, the BBC and all the American channels. Everyone was just watching South Africa. And I was part of a big church, and we prayed. We prayed all night. We prayed all day. We had prayer chains going from church to church to church. We prayed. And we prayed with all the churches in South Africa. And this was sort of predating the internet, so this was like phone calls and handwritten letters kind of stuff. We prayed. And we prayed with Nelson Mandela for reconciliation. And the 4 days of that election, I'm getting excited now, the 4 days of that election, 20 million people queued up peacefully. Most of them had voted for the first time in their lives. I tell you what, the peace in our country was palpable. You could feel it. It was like a blanket of peace in that country. It really was tangible. I can't explain that to you. The media was expecting violence, bloodbath, aggression, fighting. But we had queues like this. People queued overnight, you know. And we had 4 days just to make sure that everyone had the opportunity to vote. It was amazing. And quite frankly, I think the media were a bit let down. Where's the excitement stuff? Oh, they're all queuing peacefully. That's because we prayed. That country was on its knees praying for peace. That was the right decision for that country to move into an open democracy, because that's what God wants. God wants peace. God wants equality for everybody. And that was the right decision. So God said, I hear your prayers, I'm going to answer them, and I'm just going to drop a blanket of peace across your country. And it was so amazing. And if that example makes you think, oh, well, that's too big for me, I can never pray those big things, then here's some more local examples. My fellowship group, there's five of us ladies, we meet once a fortnight, and we pray for each other. We do other stuff, but we pray for each other. And the last time we met, which was a week last Wednesday, there were four of us who got there, and one of us couldn't make it. And we all sat there, and we all had amazing answers to prayers. Now, I don't know if you in your small group, we keep a little notebook, who's prayed for what, so we can tick them off when God answers them. But we had four of us all with answered prayers. Someone had had an amazing recovery from a health issue that we'd prayed for. Someone else had seen God intervene in the most extraordinary, miraculous, and almost, we were thinking this is the presence of angels kind of stuff, to resolve a logistical family situation. Someone else had seen God's clear presence during a personally very trying time, and there were so many different aspects pertaining to one particular day for this person that it all miraculously aligned on this one day. The two people in our group reported God's amazing protection over a family member and intervention for a family member. I tell you what, 2 weeks ago, last Wednesday, four of us sitting in Kate's front room, feeling very goosebumpy. All these answered prayers were just so amazing. We left feeling very encouraged, but it was just great going back to that book title. We asked for help. God answered, we thanked, and we all went, wow. I went home with that wow feeling from that evening. We can sometimes feel like, how can our prayers make any actual difference in the world against the sheer big scale of everything that's going out there? Our prayers can sometimes feel futile, or sometimes we even doubt, or we doubt our faith, especially when we even struggle to pray for ourselves. But, you know I love this word, but. We are filled with the Spirit of God. The very Spirit of the Almighty God is in us, the Holy Spirit. And He intercedes for us. There's that picture on the window there. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what God wants us to do, wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that can't be expressed in words. Romans 8:26. And Jesus was the ultimate intercessor. He took the place on the cross to bridge the gap between heaven and earth, to reconcile man to God. And Jesus now sits at the right hand of God the Father and intercedes for the world. He cares so deeply and yearns for the whole world to come to know God, for God's kingdom to come, like he starts in the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. So with all this power and this might and this authority in us, we should feel empowered to pray those big prayers. And Pete Gregg, in the video that accompanies this book, he says he's seen too many answered prayers to stop praying. The more you pray for the little things, the more you see them answered, the more you get goosebumps, the more you feel, wow, God answers prayers, however big or however small. But just to help with that intercession, there are four things that this book suggests. How can I pray for a situation? The other side of the world, I don't know what's going on. The first thing is get informed. Do some reading. Find a website or sign up to an organization's newsletter or follow a Facebook page or something like that. Or even just have a conversation with a friend who you know might need prayer. Get the facts, get that information and be informed. And when you have that information, open up your heart to think, God, how can you work in this situation? Let your imagination go, but also go back to the Bible. What does God say about these things? And hang on to those verses. If you've got a verse spoken over you as a young person, dig it out, pray it over your life, pray it over your children's lives. That eagle that flew, that buzzard that flew over my window and reminded me of the verse that I will walk and not grow weary and I will rise up like the wings of eagles. That's a promise, and I hang on to that and I thank God for that. So be inspired. And what God has promised in his word, he will deliver. And then number three, get indignant. Dig your heels in. Don't move, don't hang around and say, oh, please, Lord, if you can, Lord. You know, Jacob wrestled, literally physically wrestled with God all night long and said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. That's proper prayer, isn't it? Not just, oh, it would be nice if, you know. Let go of that and hang on to God until he blesses, until he answers your prayer. Hang on to it. And interestingly, the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Those are quite straight words, aren't they? It's not like, please, Lord, let your kingdom come. It's, do it, Lord, your kingdom come. And it's that kind of authority that we can stand on and pray to God with, because God's given that us through his Son. And also, the Greek verbs used in the Lord's Prayer were much more forceful and assertive than we associate with them now. So we can be bold, we can be indignant, and pray with authority. And the last one is get in sync, agreeing with your Christian family, your Christian brothers and sisters. Because we know what Jesus said when two or more agree, he answers. Find people who want to pray the same prayers, who are interested in the same things as you, especially with intercession prayer. If you've got a real heart for a country or a group of people or a situation, find some people to pray with and agree with them, and God will see two people agreeing, and he's promised that he will answer. And there's an amazing, unique power that comes alive when God's people unite together to pray, to intercede. So what I want to do now is, with all the blue buckets on the table, can one person from each circle leap up with the bucket? And I want to do a bit of swapping around with buckets, please. If someone can grab your bucket and swap around. Make sure you've swapped two or three times, please. Musical buckets. You haven't got a bucket. Brian, can we swap? So if you've swapped a bucket, swap it again. Have you swapped your bucket two or three times? Great. Brian, do you want to swap with Kip there? Swap again. And what I'd like, please, is for someone to pick out a prayer. Someone who can come to the front with a piece of paper from the bucket that's now in front of you. And if it's appropriate, just come up to the front and read it out, please. And what I'd like us all to do is just to listen to what someone else has asked for, and that we will all agree and say amen for what this person has asked for on this piece of paper. So if two or three people can come up with a piece of paper that they randomly picked out from a bucket. Andrew, thank you. Anyone else? You can read the words directly or say a short prayer. Thank you.
Okay. So this relates to, can we on that one?
For those of you who don't know what has happened this past week, it's been our awareness, particularly in with the people who are in the hub and who regularly come to the hub building, of the death of a lady called Jenny. And some of you will know her, and that happened about 10 days ago, but we've only recently become aware of it. So this is the prayer. Pray for those who were friends of Jenny, who took her own life, and are feeling distress and guilt and sadness. Amen.
Amen.
Help me to control my thoughts.
Amen.
Prayer for health and healing. Thank you, Lord, for providing. And I think it says, wow, that I see amazing things everywhere.
Amen. Wow, that's amazing. Brian, one more?
This one says, help me to fulfill my duties and restore my energy. And then a second prayer, Lord, please bring the war in Ukraine to a conclusion.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Alvin. This one just says, share my joy. Share my joy. We've seen the joy of a baptism, for instance, this morning, but share my joy.
Thank you. Lovely. Thank you. Peter?
Got one here that will resonate with a lot of us. Lord, please open my children's hearts to your presence and love.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So just taking a simple prayer that someone's written and somebody else praying for it, I believe that's really powerful. So if you could all take something out of the bucket and take that home with you this week and pray for that person that's written something on a piece of paper, I'd love to hear some stories next week, next Sunday. Let's stand and let's say the Lord's Prayer together. I'll pop it up here on the screen. Is it on the screen? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.